Well, it was nice not having to hold the handrail walking up here this morning. Certainly good to see you all this morning, and if you're visiting with us, I am very happy that you are here, and we want you to know how welcome you are. And I also want to ask you, if you have any questions, to feel free to ask us. If there's anything you're concerned with or have questions or whatever it is that we might do here, please feel free to ask myself or one of our elders or our deacons or any member, and we would be more than thrilled and happy to sit down with you to discuss those things. The Bible is very certain when it comes to death. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it was read for us just a few moments ago in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3 that David, in talking about that relationship, said that he was but a step between life and death. And that's exactly what it is for us here. We are but a step between life and death. Certainly we understand that death is going to come to all of us. And as we understand that, the Bible makes that clear. And the Bible is very clear concerning funerals, as it talks about that in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 20, where we read about Jacob placing a pillar on Rachel's grave. And Deuteronomy 34, we see the land of Israel mourning over the death of Moses and grieving. So we understand the certainty of what death is. What I consider to be a great honor is when any family, or when I've had people also say, Larry, you're going to preach my funeral. I say, let's just not rush it, but I'll be happy to. I'm always happy and extremely honored when anybody grants me that privilege, because that's exactly what it is. And I've done more than I can probably count of funerals for individuals. Every funeral is different. Every funeral is unique. And every family is unique. But one of the things that's always certain concerning the individual of which I'm preaching for their funeral is whether or not they're saved. The ones that are saved, the funeral is extremely easy, because you know where they're going. You know what their life was, the example that they left for their family, and really what they wanted you to understand about the importance of their salvation and what it meant to be a Christian. The hard funerals to preach are those who are not members of the church. I preach funerals for people who I did not know and who were not members of the church. And certainly those are difficult when you don't know them, but at the same time, you understand their fate in relation to what the Bible talks about. We've all been to cemeteries. We've all walked upon the graves, perhaps stood at the graveside funerals, and then later we've come back to look at the tombstone to see what's inscribed. And many times we see upon those the date they were born, the date that they died, and then perhaps a loving father or great mother or wonderful individual. But it's what's in between those years, that little dash, that matters the most in your life. Because really, the day that you're born is the day that you begin to die. And the day that you die says a lot about how you lived your life in relation to what you're prepared for concerning eternity. So this morning, I want us to take a little trip to a cemetery, and I want us to look at 9 different headstones. And as we look at many of these different individual headstones, all of them are completely different. But yet all of them really say the same thing to us. Many of these that we're going to look at, I preach their funeral. Some easier than others. Some more joyous than others. But the fact of the matter is, all of us one day will have our funeral preached. But it's how we live this life and how we're prepared for that funeral, and what will be said of us, and how it will be inscribed upon our tombstone, that matters the most. So as we take a trip through this cemetery, the first tombstone we come upon was a very wealthy man, a man who was very well liked in the community, had a lot of business wealth and personal wealth, but you see, the problem is, he died. And the Bible tells us that individuals who don't believe in God because they don't have time for God, And we call them in this life atheists, or sometimes maybe even agnostic, because they don't believe in anything in particular. But the Bible says of any individual that those individuals were fool. Any man that says in his heart there is no God is a fool, as the psalmist writes in Psalm 14 and verse 1. When we think about the concept of what a fool is, obviously we put a negative connotation on it. But this is simply someone who acts in an unwise way. And when you walk up upon an individual, and I preach sermons for atheists too, the hardest thing to get across is the importance of those that are sitting in the audience, not only that you're trying to recognize the individual's life and the type of person they are, but for people in the audience to understand that you don't want to end up like this man. And that's a delicate subject. Because when we think about it, in relation to what the Bible tells us, brethren, there are not going to be any atheists on the Day of Judgment. Because all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for those things in their body, whether those things are good or whether those things are bad. All of us have to stand before God one day, but how we stand before God in relation to what we believe and what we practice and what we know, will we stand before the all-knowing God and say that I've lived my life in a life of service and understanding who you are. But it's really sad to me to see people walk around in this world not believing in the one true God and knowing what He's given to us and the proof that He provides for us within the pages of the Bible. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for all of us and tells us exactly what we need to know. But as you stand at the end of a grave and as you're looking at a tombstone of a man, of an individual who believed in nothing and knowing that he took nothing with him in this life to the afterlife, knowing that it's a sad state as you look at a tombstone like that and knowing what their fate is going to be. Well, the next tombstone that we come to is near the atheist grave, and you see, this is the grave of a precious baby boy. When I was in college, I worked at the Tennessee Department of Labor as a work-study student, and I helped veterans. And one particular day, this man came in who had been living in Batesville, Mississippi, and he had been working at the Bates Casket Company. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's it like assembling caskets? And he said, well, you know, it's just like any other job. He said, except for the one day a month. And I said, why is that? He said, that one day a month is when we assemble the caskets for babies. He said, it's a lot quieter in the assembly line that day. I said, I can imagine it's difficult of any parent that loses a child, especially one at that tender age of 10 months, or maybe even 6 months, or perhaps even one that lost it in a miscarriage. It's still a loss, it's still a death, and it's still something that weighs very heavy on our hearts. But you know, the great thing the Bible tells us, especially in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, is that we know when we understand and that we can feel better in that moment of knowing where those precious babies are going to be. But the thing to always stress to us, for those who have gone through something like that, is to make sure that we remain faithful, that we might be reunited with them again in heaven. It's not an easy thing. It's something that I've experienced. And it's something that I don't want anybody to have to go through, but this is life and things do happen, and we understand the certainty of it. But the great thing in knowing this is that Jesus said those precious souls are going to be saved and they're going to be sitting in His lap. And that's something certainly that we can take comfort in. But you know, one thing as I look at this particular gravestone that it tells me is that death is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. We understand that death is a certain thing, and that it will happen to all of us. The next grave that we come to is that of a wealthy businessman. He was a businessman, and he was also a decent neighbor, but he wasn't necessarily a friendly person, and he wasn't very nice to his own children. As a matter of fact, his children didn't even come to his funeral. They didn't want anything to do with him. But he had a lot of personal wealth, and he thought that he could buy his children's love, and that would suffice for what it meant to be a parent. He thought giving as much as he did rather than providing love and time for them, that was what was going to matter the most. But in return, when those that showed up to his funeral and it was just a handful, nobody really understood his accomplishments other than more than anything. The only thing that mattered to him was money. The Bible tells us not to lay up our treasures here on this earth, and I don't think we've ever seen at a funeral a hearse pulling a U-Haul, have we? Because we can't take it with us. Those things that we accumulate here, certainly because of the blessings of God. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And those blessings are grace. And there's nothing wrong with having a job and making money and all of these things. But if we put all of our collective resources here and we don't worry about eternity, brethren, that's exactly where we're going to end up. Only worrying about things here. The Bible tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven. That's where our heart needs to be. The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things then are going to be added unto us. Seeking first God's kingdom is the most important thing in life. There's a story told of a man who said he'd walked into church one day. He knew nothing about God. He sat down. He said, I only had $100 in my pocket, and I only had $100 to my name. He said, but I put my faith in God. I obeyed the commandments of salvation. I worked really hard, and 10 years later, I was a millionaire. A lady behind him leaned forward and said, I bet you won't do it again. Put that $1 million in the plate again and put your trust in God. You see, he could do it at first, but when it came to all the money he had, could he do it again? You see, really, when you think about it, we die extremely poor if we die outside the body of Christ, because none of that goes with us if we don't understand what salvation is to all of us. The next grave that we walk upon is that of a young Christian girl. I preached her funeral. You see, she was only 16 years old. And that night, her mother had forgot that they were supposed to pick up a newspaper for her grandfather. So at 10 o'clock in the evening, they drove just a mile down the road to go to Walmart to pick up a newspaper. And an individual who had way too much to drink crossed over four lanes and hit them head on, killing them both. And here was a young girl who had her life before her, who loved the Lord, who was at church, who was bubbly and anxious, and everybody in class, in her Bible class, loved her. But you see, again, death is not a respecter of persons, and we don't know what the other person is going to do. But the Bible tells us that certainly we must be prepared for eternity, and laying up our treasures in heavens prepare us for that. But unfortunately, as I stood there preaching a double casket funeral, I could not but think of all of the things that she was now going to miss in life. All of the things that laid before her and the hope that she had for a future, all of those things are now gone because of the decision of one man. Yet I would think, and I would want you to know, that she would want you to know that you need to be prepared. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings, as the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 14, that life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How quick has your life passed by? And the Bible also tells us that we're not certain of tomorrow. And because we know not what tomorrow is going to bring, we don't know if our day is going to be given for tomorrow. We were blessed to be here today, but are you going to be blessed tomorrow with another day? We don't know, but we have to be prepared. You know, I can remember sitting there, and as I looked out over the audience as I was preaching her funeral, there was a lot of young people, more so than anybody else, all of her high school classmates, and as they're all crying and as they're all thinking about their future, the one thing I told them is, she thought she had tomorrow too, but she didn't. The next grave that we come to is that of an elderly woman. She served God faithfully in her younger years. She loved the Lord in her younger years, but she married someone who didn't love the Lord as much as she did, and it pulled her away from God. And she stayed away. She grew bitter towards the church because of the things that were said to her, and she thought because of the things that were said to her, that reflected who Jesus was. So therefore, she said, I just don't want any part of religion whatsoever. But when you think about what Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, it really paints a picture for us, for those who fall away from the Lord and never come back. It's not a pretty picture. It's very sobering when you read what Peter writes here. But it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is the worse with them than the beginning. You want to know why? Because they knew better. They knew better than to go back in the world and allow the world to tangle them up and to pull them away from God, because they knew the salvation they had in the Lord and what that was going to do for them. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered to them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. How many people turn away from the Lord in times of anger, of guilt, of sorrow, of grief, of pain, whatever the case is, those that turn their back on the Lord for whatever reason, those that knew better from the beginning, God said it's going to be worse for them in eternity. And I don't think that's anything that any of us wants to experience. For some people, it would have been better, the Bible says, had they never been born, because they knew the way of righteousness and they turned away from it. Mark 14:21 says, the Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And think about that, those that will stand before God on the day of judgment to answer for the things that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, that have to stand before the righteous God to say, God, I knew your way. I knew what I was supposed to do, Lord. I mean, I understand it, and I knew that, but God's going to say it doesn't matter at this point. Because I don't even know who you are. You know, I can't imagine my parents turning away from me. Them saying, son, we don't know you. But that's what God's going to do, as if we were never born. Imagine what it would be like to go through the existence of this world and nobody knew you. Nobody knew you existed, and that's how God will treat us on the day of judgment for those that turn from the Lord. But let's walk to the next grave, and here we have a husband and wife. The problem was they raised three beautiful children, but they didn't have any time for God. They had no time for Him whatsoever, so therefore it was never introduced to the children. And the problem with this was that the cares of the world got a hold of them. Mark 4:19 says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." And that's what happened to this couple, because those pursuits of life were more important to them, and because of that, their kids followed suit, and they never knew the Lord themselves. And therefore, another generation was lost, and their children never knew the Lord because of that. Brethren, we're only one generation away from apostasy. Think about the trickling effect of those that have gone on before us, that have taught us the gospel, that we've then passed on to our own children. You see, it matters that we teach our children. It matters that we show them the way of righteousness. You see, those who do not heed to the teaching of the judgment, who don't exercise self-control, who are engaged in unrighteous living, the Bible says in Acts 24, they have no promise of eternity. And how many times have I seen this case in this grave marker for those who don't teach their children? And sometimes we forget as parents that we will stand before the righteous God in heaven and answer for that. The next grave marker we come to is we find the tombstone of a family of religious people, and they were well known in the community. But the problem is they didn't believe in the one true church. They had no time for the truth. They understood what the Bible says, but they didn't read the verse that says we ought to obey God rather than man. And because of that, they forsook what the Bible told them to do and what other people were instructing them to do. And because of that, they went to a man-made church rather than Christ's church. And because of that, they lost their soul. They were religious, but as the Bible says, they were religiously wrong. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 through 23, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done all these wonderful works? Lord, look at us. We've been religious in nature. We've tried to be spiritually minded, but God says it wasn't according to my standards." And because of that, we come to another couple in another graveyard who turned away from the one true church as if it never existed. Because their status in the community meant more to them than their status in eternity. And because of that, they died outside of Christ. Then we come to the grave of a Christian lady. You see, this lady fell away from the Lord. And she too was very bitter. For several years she had forsaken God and His ways, and she enjoyed the pleasures of the world. But because she understood that she was lost and she was without her family, she obeyed the commandments of the Lord and she came back. She understood what 1 John 1:7 said, that we can continue walking and God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness if we go back and we walk with Him again. I preached her funeral too. You see, one day I got a call and I had to drive to Birmingham, which is about an hour and a half away, and she was sitting on the edge of the bed crying as her husband was in the other corner, and she had just been diagnosed with terminal skin cancer. But the one thing that amazed me after we said our prayer was that she was more concerned for her husband who had left the Lord than she was for herself. So we sat there and we talked for a good while. And through her courage, she encouraged her husband to be restored as well. You see, the Bible tells us it doesn't matter at what moment you go to work in the vineyard, as long as you go to work in the vineyard. There are those that came in last minute, the ones that had been there whole time, and said, "Hey, Lord, this isn't fair. What about us? We've been here working the whole time. They just come in at the last minute and they can sneak in the gates." That's not how it works. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've heard people say hateful things from deathbed confessions. Aren't you happy they're saved and they're going to be with us in heaven? Why should we be jealous of that? Yes, maybe we've been faithful our whole life and we work for the Lord, but how dare we demand righteousness from those that God said are righteous when we have no place saying that to begin with? It's not our job to judge. But when you sit there and you listen to somebody pour their heart out who's more concerned for their husband than their own welfare, then you get it. And I can remember preaching her funeral. And the one thing that I got to say in that funeral was, she died in the Lord. She died in the Lord. She had been out of the church for 35 years. 35 years. Was she proud of the way that she lived? Absolutely not. But it was that she understood her fate and her eternity. And finally, we come to the grave of a Christian woman who served God for over 75 years. Wonderful Christian lady. As a matter of fact, she was 99 years old when she died. That was the very first funeral sermon I ever preached. Boy, my knees were knocking. I was scared to death. And I remember Miss Zula when I went to see her, and as she was getting more feeble, she said, My kids keep telling me they're planning for my 100th birthday, but I'm not going to be here. She said, because I'm ready to go home. She said, sometimes I think the Lord forgot me. I said, Miss Zula, He didn't forget you. But you know, the thing that struck me the most at that funeral was as I sat there in the small church building in Kenton, Tennessee, and as her 6 children were there, one that was a gospel preacher, her 18 grandchildren that sat behind them, and the 43 great-grandchildren that sat behind them, every single one of those, because of her, was a Christian. And they made sure to tell me that. All because of her example of living for the Lord, she raised all of them in Christ and they followed after her. Amen. You see, those are the funerals I like to do. Those are the funerals that are easy. Though we weep and we mourn and we grieve, I can't help but smile knowing that here was a lady who led a lot of people to Christ. I think when you take a walk through a graveyard and you look at the many different grave markers, perhaps of people you know, you can say the same thing. But the thing I want to ask you this morning is, what will your grave marker say? Will it say, faithful child of God who loved the Lord and served Him faithfully? Will it say the one perhaps where you've fallen away and need to be restored and you need to come home this morning? You see, that would be okay too. Or will it say one who's fallen away and never comes back? Will we weep knowing that you didn't die in the Lord, you just died? I always go back to the story that the account that we read in the Bible of Lazarus and the rich man. And as the rich man's looking across that great gulf fix and he's looking at the joys that Lazarus is enjoying in paradise, and he asks for just a little bit of relief, just a little. Just let him dip his tongue in water and put it on my finger in water and dip it on my tongue so I can have some relief. Just a little relief. What will your tombstone say? I hope and I pray and I beg you today that it says faithful Christian. If you need for it to say that, and you're outside the body of Christ and you've never known what it is to be a member of the church, let us help you with that today. The Bible tells you exactly what you must do. The Bible tells us all of us are going to die and then we're going to face God in judgment. But the important thing to know this morning is, how will you stand in judgment this morning? Will you stand righteous holy, acceptable for God, sanctified and set apart? If not, why not? Are you ready to repent of your sins this morning, confess your faith in Jesus, Luke 10:9-10, and to put Him on in baptism, Acts 2:38, to have all of your sins washed away that you might stand justified? And maybe it is that you're here this morning as one who's fallen away. Maybe somebody said something to you that's made you really angry in the church. Sometimes people say hurtful things, don't they? Sometimes we argue and we bicker about things that don't even matter, and we allow them to affect our spiritual lives. Maybe that's your case. Maybe the world has just beaten you down and knocked you to the ground. Get up. Let us pray with you today. Let us pray for you. But what I want you to know is that we can stand as we mourn your loss, smiling, knowing at the same time that you died a Christian, that you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," as together we stand and as we sing.